I start, actually, let me just say thank you to everybody for the opportunity to learn with you. It's always a privilege to be able to get together with people and share ideas. And needless to say, it goes without saying that feel free to jump in and ask questions. Not too much, but feel free to jump in and ask questions. I figured that because we're going to do, Gary told me we'd do a barbecue. So, and have cigars, so I thought that there's two natural topics that I could have given shear on. One is kashrus, or tarfus, and the other is v'nishmartem lo b'nafshei seichem. So I went for the kashrus issue.
So you could smoke, but you can't eat here.
So, I really want to answer one question with this shiur. One basic question, and I'm being only semi facetious when I say this now. But you know that if Gary were to make a mistake and get and instead of getting the meat from Brach's for the barbecue, and instead he went to the A&P. Or he went to some butcher store in Muncie, which would be the equivalent of going to the A&P. You're recording this, right? So we would all say that about that meat, that the meat is treif. That's the way people today talk.
Did you hear what happened to Akropasis last week, by the way?
I think I did, yeah.
The non-Jews doing the cut?
Yeah, yeah.
On second cuts?
Yeah, second cuts, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
non-Jews are doing it, though.
But it doesn't matter.
Right, okay, let's...
There are no Rabbanim doing the shechting. There are no Jews.
So, yeah, but I did read about it. But anyway, so we would call the meat treif. We would say about that meat that the meat is treif. Now, the truth is that's really wrong. I mean, it's technically not correct. Because treifa really means that the animal has a fatal illness. It's dying. And actually, the truth is that if the animal does die without shechita, that's not treifa, that's nevela. So non-kosher, like pig's meat, is not treif. And yet, we have this commonplace expression, you know, chaz a treif. That we use the term treifa really to refer to non-kosher meat. I'd like to see if there's any basis for that. I mean, technically, there's no question about it. It's absolutely wrong. But I'd like to see if there's any basis... Anything behind it. I mean, let's see if we can justify what's come to be a niyug. Okay. And I'm being only quasi-facetious when I say this. We'll start with the Rambam. It's an amazing formulation that the Rambam has in the Sefer HaMitzvos with regard to what the isser of eating treifa is. An amazing formulation. The pasuk, the Torah says that you're not allowed to eat treifa, and the pasuk is uvasar. I'm going to start with the second half of the pasuk. Uvasar basadeh treifa lo sochelu lakelev tashlichu noso, which literally means that uvasar meat basadeh that is found in the field, treifa which is torn apart, ripped up. Uvasar basadeh treifa lo sochelu, do not eat such meat, but rather give it to your dogs. Give it to the dog. Okay, so the Rambam says, so that's an issa d'oraisa. You're not allowed to eat treifa meat. And the Rambam formulates it as one of taryag, but his formulation is amazing. It's an amazing formulation. Anybody wants to look it up afterwards? So it's in the Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvos Lo Saseh Kuf Pei Aleph, the 181st negative commandment. Don't eat treifa meat. And he says like this. He says, really, there's a pshat in the pasuk. The pasuk has a literal meaning, and the literal meaning of the pasuk is, don't eat meat from a dying animal. Now, an animal could be dying because a wild animal attacked it, like the classic case of a chaya sayar, a wild animal attacks a chicken or attacks a calf or a sheep, a cow, and it punctures an organ. It renders it. The animal doesn't die right away, but it's a dying animal. Or there are actually eight categories of illnesses, of sicknesses that render an animal into a treifa. The most common one that pretty much everybody knows about is a hole in the lung, right? Okay, so that's for the whole expression of glat, glat kosher. Glat is a Yiddish word meaning smooth. Lungs are smooth. It's a chumrah that people have accepted upon themselves. But that hole in the lung is one of the illnesses that define the animal as dying. So the animal is dying, you're not allowed to eat the meat from that animal. And the Rambam says that's the pshat in the pasuk. It's not the Rambam; he didn't make it up. It's really a mechilta. The mechilta says because the mechilta was bothered by why does it say basadeh uvasar basadeh treifa lo socheilu vegomer. So what do you mean? And what if the meat is not in the field? What if the meat is in your house? What if the meat is in the butcher store? So the famous Dibur HaKosuv Bahoveh, the Torah is using a common example. He's using this only as an example. But the idea is, because since most attacks by wild animals do not take place in the butcher store, but rather they take place in the field, so that's why the Torah uses this common expression. But that's the issur. You're not allowed to eat the meat of a dying animal. Okay. In the language of Chazal, nota lamus. If the animal is leaning towards death, nota lamus, so then that's a trefa, and you're not allowed to eat the meat. And then the Rambam says, that's nice, that's the pshat in the pasuk, but then there's another issur included in this that's not the pshat in the pasuk. And nevertheless, despite the fact that it's not the pshat, it's still usur. And what is it? So the not pshat of the pasuk is that basadeh is outside, it's out there. So any meat which goes outside of its own domain, any meat which leaves its own mechitza, leaves its own domain, is considered to be a trefa. And if you eat such meat, you're also violating the issur of trefa. Classic example, says the Rambam, classic example, if you have basar, besar kodshim, you have meat of a, let's take a korban shlamim as an example. So you bring a korban shlamim, you bring a korban to Yerushalayim, so it's slaughtered in somewhere in the grounds of the mikdash within the azara, you have to eat the meat of that korban somewhere within the city of Yerushalayim. So, and if the meat goes outside of the walls of Yerushalayim, that's called chutz l'mechitza. It's outside of its domain. So listen carefully. It's an amazing Gemara. It's an amazing Rambam that brings down the Gemara. If a person takes korban shlamim, takes the meat from the korban shlamim, leaves the city of Yerushalayim and then comes back into the city of Yerushalayim and eats the meat there, you're violating an issur of trefa. You're violating an issur of trefa. Why? Because basadeh means it went outside of its mechitza, it went outside of its domain. Once it's outside of its domain, that's it, it's trefa. Same thing, for example, with Korban Pesach. I'll make it a little bit more specific. Korban Pesach, you bring the Korban Pesach on the afternoon of the 14th of Nisan, you bring the Korban Pesach back to your house, and you have a chavura in your house on that night. You're going to be eating with your family. And the halacha is that you must eat it in your house. Whatever place you designate, but it's got to be in a designated domain. If you bring a piece of meat from the Korban Pesach outside of your house, and then you bring it back in, and you eat it, you violated the issur of trefa, because it went outside of its domain. It's amazing. Everybody with me? There's one more case of outside of its domain, which is even more wild than this. Okay, you ready?
Zman.
What?
Zman.
Not zman. Mechitza means literal, the geographic location. Not zman. Okay, you ready? A cow that you own is alive and well and is pregnant. It's pregnant. The cow is pregnant. Okay. In the uterus of the cow is this fetus. And it's almost full term, let's say, just to make our example easy. It's almost full term. And the cow is getting anxious to be born. So it sticks out its leg into the open air. Okay? Through the vaginal canal, sticks out its leg. And well, it's ben pekuah if you're going to shech, if you shech the mother, but we didn't shech the mother yet. The calf, the ubar, right, sticks out its leg into the open air. Okay, freeze frame. Stop. Again, this is not during the process of birth, because what's going to happen is the cow will, before, you know, I said freeze frame, but the cow, after the freeze frame is over, the cow's going to withdraw, change its mind. The cow's going to withdraw its leg back in. And so, therefore, we will appropriately name this cow, the Ubar will name it, Peretz. No, Zarach. Okay, so Zarach. So the cow sticks out its leg and then withdraws it back in. Okay? All right? The leg of the cow went outside of its mechitza, and the leg of the cow, and only the leg, li'olam va'ed, is trefa. It is a wow. It's amazing. Because here's what's going to happen. There's two scenarios. Let's say the cow sticks out its leg, and while the leg is stuck out, you decide this is an opportune moment to shech the mother. So the leg is stuck out, and you shech the mother. The cow is considered to be, the calf is considered to be ben pekuah. Ben pekuah means that since the calf is still inside the uterus of the mother, it's considered to be simply a part of the mother. And the language of the Gemara, ubar yerech imohu, the fetus is considered to be no different from the thigh of the mother. It's a part of, it's just simply flesh of the mother. So the shechita that you did for the, that it works on the mother, works for the calf too. Okay? But not the leg. The leg is outside. The leg is outside. The leg is considered to be a trefa, because it's out chutz l'mechitza. That case, we may reasonably be able to figure out and understand. But let's go back to the other case. There's one other case. The case is that the calf stuck out its leg and withdrew it back in. And then you shecht the mother. You shechted the mother while the leg was back inside. What's the halacha? The leg of that ubar will be forever considered a trefa. The rest of the calf will be kosher. And in fact, the rest of the calf, how do you have to kill it? Any way you want. You can shoot it in the head. Why?
Part of the mother.
Because it's already shechted. Part of the mother. Okay? You can shoot it in the head, literally. I mean, the right, you can't eat live is a problem because of Eber Menachai, different issue, but the calf is going to be kosher. The leg, if you eat the flesh of that leg, you will be eating trefa because it went chutz l'mechitza.
But if you didn't know about it, and it went out.
Yeah.
What if you've been eating, and you eat that leg?
Trefa.
You didn't know that.
So you're eating trefa b'shogeg. Okay. All right. As long as you're wearing the FDNY, I see the whole neighborhood is probably going to be calling. You get ready to, you know, marshal the hoses. Okay. Just the part of the leg that came. If you don't know, then you'll be machmir till the joint. That's it. Yes. Well, it's wise though. Again, unless you figure that. Well, I know that the knee didn't reach in, didn't go till the knee. So you could be machmir. You'll say I'll be machmir till the knee, whatever, you know. But it's a trefa. It's a trefa. Okay, it's a little bit wild. It's like a funny thing. And it's trefa. So what's included on the trefa now? What's included on the trefa? The classic definition, nota lamus, the dying animal, is included under the Yisuf Trefa. The meat that went outside of the mechitza, like kodshim, you brought it outside the walls of Yushalayim, or if it was kodshe kodashim, if you brought it outside the walls of the Beis HaMikdash, not important for us right now. The distinction is not important for us right now. So, but if you brought korbanos, meat of a korban, outside of its area, and then brought it back in and ate it, you'd be violating Trefa. And the leg of the Uber that went outside of the mother, even if it came back in afterwards, that would be a trefa. Is everybody with me? Okay. The nota lamus, the dying animal, that's the pshat in the pasuk. The others, the Rambam says, is not pshat in the pasuk, but it's derived, it's learnt out from drush, it's learnt out from drush that therefore it's included. Okay, you with me? Everybody with me? Tell me now, because I'll start again. If I mean, I got all night, I don't care. Are we okay? All right.
One more question.
Yeah.
So besides the Kutcher case,
yes,
which is
Right. And the ubar, which is mechitza, which is a funny type of mechitza. Correct.
Is there any other case with outside of kushim where there is another type of mechitza?
No. Well, the ubar. There's kushim and ubar. I mean, it's, which
that's
is funny.
It.
That's it.
Cases.
That's it. Okay?
Question.
Yeah.
I guess the case of the ubar?
Yeah. It doesn't have to.
Like, let's say the kushim also goes, puts in this piece of also, and then it goes back.
Right.
Wouldn't it be enough just if it goes out of Yerushalayim and then you eat it close to Yerushalayim?
No, because, a good point. If it goes out of Yerushalayim and you eat it outside of Yerushalayim, you're not violating treifa, you're violating another issa d'oraisa, of achilas kushim bachutz. That's a different issa. So that's why I specified that for treifa, it's where you brought it back in. There's an issa d'oraisa, you're not allowed to eat kushim bachutz. But this is not kachim bachutz. It went out and you brought it back in.
So the leg
that's
go back in. But
the leg is not kachim, so don't confuse the two cases. The leg is different. The leg is chutz l'mechitza. The leg, it could stay out, it could come back in. The only thing is, again, I caution you, be careful, if the animal sticks out its leg and that becomes part of the birth process, so then for sure it's okay, because that's the animal being born. You see? So that's why the case is either where the leg is stuck out and you shech the mother, which then, in effect, renders it the end of, it's not the birth process, or if it withdraws the leg back in, it's not the birth process. Okay, are you with me?
Either way, the leg is
treifa. Okay?
Is
it? Yeah.
When the kushim is outside, it's not also treifa?
No.
If you eat it outside,
right.
It's not treifa. It's
not because Anis Palis, I guess, not treifa.
Rich.
Well, that's a good question. Is it because of anus chalas or not? It's a good question. I mean, but let's leave that aside. But it's not treifa. Okay?
So is it the bringing it back in, or the fact that once it was moved out the first time and that's it?
No, once it's moved out, it's part. It went chutz l'mechitza.
Right.
If you don't eat it, you haven't violated. You know, you've
no, I'm saying
you haven't violated this.
There's no issue of kutzim b'chutz, right?
Right.
Took it out.
If there's no issue of kutzim b'chutz, then there'd be no treifa here. It's because it went chutz l'mechitza.
That returned.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. And it returned.
If it stayed outside,
it's not treifa. That's correct.
Which is not the case by the calf.
But I think Eli Rabbi Fein is right. I mean, why it wouldn't be treifa outside is you can get into technicalities of anus or chal alisser. It's a whole different discussion.
Okay.
All right. Is everybody with me?
Yep.
All right. So I haven't asked the question yet, other than to notice that the fact that this is like really strange, right? But now I'll ask a question. The Rambam points out, with regard to another Isser with which you are all familiar, the Rambam points out that if you have an Isser, that you have a lav, you have an Isser midaraisa, where some of it is learnt out from pshat in the pasuk, and some of it is learnt out from not pshat in the pasuk, that's called lav shebichlalos. Just hold that term for a second. Here's one of the classic examples. It's actually not the classic example, but it is a classic example. And that is the case of, you know this, v'lifnei iver lo sitein michshol. V'lifnei iver lo sitein michshol means, the pshat in the pasuk means, it's interesting, this is the pshat in the pasuk. The pshat in the pasuk of v'lifnei iver lo sitein michshol is, do not give your friend bad advice. That's the pshat in the pasuk. It's interesting that the pshat in the pasuk is not, don't put a stumbling block in front of a blind man. That's not the pshat in the pasuk. The pshat in the pasuk is, don't give your friend bad advice. What's derived from that pasuk is, don't help your friend sin. Misayei al advar aveira. So if you help your friend sin, your friend says to you, hey, listen, let's go rob a bank. And you say, okay, sounds like a good idea. You help him out. So you're violating, it's called Nisayei al-Advar Avera, and you're violating ultimately V'lifnei iver lo sitein michshol v'gomer. The Rambam says in that case, V'lifnei iver lo sitein michshol v'gomer, he says that you don't get Malkos for it. Why? Why don't you get Malkos? Because there's a rule that Lav Shebichlalos, you never get Malkos. Lav Shebichlalos, you never get Malkos. It's a rule. Okay? So the question is, now I can ask a question. The question is, if a person eats treifa, does he get malkos? What's the answer? Yes. If a person eats meat that went, Basar Kutchim, that went outside of Yushalayim and came back in, does he get Malkos? Yes. If a person eats the leg of the an of the ubar of the fetus that went out and came back inside, does he get Malkos? Yes. So you have an open stira now. Now you have an open contradiction. In Trefa, you have an example of an Isser where there's pshat of the Isser that comes from the pshat of the Pasuk and the Isser which is derived from a drash. And yet there, the Rambam doesn't call it Lav Shebechlalos, and you get Malkos every single case. In the case of Lifnei Velozit and Mechshol V'Gomer, that's also an example of an Isser that comes from the pshat of the Pasuk and something derived from a drash. And for that very reason, Gufa, for that very reason itself, you don't get Malkos. Here you do get Malkos, there you don't get Malkos. It's the same model of Isser. It's a problem. Everybody follow the Kasha? Okay, that's one question. Yeah. No. If you call it Lav Shebechlalos, that would be a big problem. The question is, that would be a major problem, an insurmountable problem. Thank God, no one calls it Lav Shebechlalos. But it's Akasha. Why not? Why isn't it Lav Shebechlalos? Okay. That's question number one. Of course, question number two is, what is this idea of Chutzal Mechitza that bothered us before? What's this idea of Chutzal Mechitza with regard to the fetus sticking out its leg? How's that Chutzal Mechitza? Mechitza means, I understand Mechitza with regard to Yerushalayim, but Chutzal Mechitza by sticking the leg out of the cow, how's that Chutzal Mechitza? That's question number two. Okay, everybody with me? Are you following? Guys, come on.
Yeah.
You live?
Oh, yeah.
All right. It's worse in person. On the phone, at least, when I ask, people answer. It's all right. Okay. Next. Yeah. The next question is really an offshoot of the first. I mean, in the case of the ubar that sticks out its leg, why is... I can understand what you said. If the leg is stuck out, if the leg is stuck out and then you shech the mother, so I can understand why the leg, maybe you can understand why the leg is will be a trefa, because the shechita of the mother will not be related to the leg, because it's outside, right? And then you can't, and then the shechita, if let's say you shech the ubar later on, how come, why will that be no good? Exactly, who said it? That's right, Jeff, right? Because it's already shechted. You can't shech something which is already shechted. The ubar is considered to be shechted already, so I can understand that. You can't, it's not shechita. It's the same thing as shooting it in the head. I mean, that's, right? However, the case where the animal stuck out its leg and then stuck it back in, why is that a problem? What's the problem? Just because it went outside the animal, so what? Now it's back in. What's the problem? Okay? That's the third question. I'll review the questions. Okay. All right. I had a fourth question. I'll leave it. Maybe we'll come back to it afterwards. It has to do with the difference between Jews and Bnei Noach with regard to this issue. Because I'll mention it very quickly. But if you don't get it now, don't worry about it. When Bnei Noach got the seventh mitzvah of Bnei Noach, well, the seventh one was Eiver Menachai, right? So in Eiver Menachai, there were two components, there were two parts to Eiver Menachai. You weren't allowed, mankind is not allowed to eat Eiver Menachai, and also Basar Menachai. Which means to say that when Noach was commanded, you know, don't eat Eiver Menachai, it included a limb, but it also included flesh, even if the flesh was not part of a limb. So if you took a knife and started to dismember an animal, not by chopping apart its limbs, but by gouging out a piece of flesh, while the animal is still alive, so that's called basar minachai, and that's part of the big category of eiver minachai. Okay? All right. When the Torah was given to us at Sinai, an interesting thing happened to Klal Yisrael. Up until Matan Torah, basar minachai was asur because of eiver minachai. But now, once the Torah was given, basar minachai switched identities, and now it became usur because of trefa, according to Rabbi Yochanan. According to Reish Lakish, for Jews it still remains as it always was. It's part of Eiver Menachai. I'd like to see if we can understand that machlokas, but it's not critical for us right now. Okay? All right. The last question, though, is the last question I'd like to ask on the issue is like this: is the end of the Rambam, the end of the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvah says as follows: Trefa and Nevela, the Isurim for Trefa and Nevela, were repeated in particular to the Kohanim. In other words, if you look in the Torah, and you look under in the concordance in the Torah under a concordance where Nevela and Trefa is mentioned. So it's mentioned for all Jews, but it's mentioned again for Kohanim in particular. And the Rambam says, why were Trefa and Nevela mentioned, repeated in particular again, emphasized for the Kohanim? Okay, you ready? So the Rambam says like this. He says, well, the Kohanim were commanded to eat a special korban called Chatas Ha'of. Is a special karma chatas, birds that the Kohanim were commanded to eat. How was the bird of chatas ha'of killed? How was it slaughtered? And the answer is not shchita. The answer is malika. Malika is a special way of killing the animal. The Kohen, sharp thumbnail. That was the edge of the thumbnail was sharpened, razor sharp. So if you know any Kohanim in the time of the Mikdash, you don't want to start a fight with them. So, right, the thumbnail was very, very sharp. And the Gemara says it's one of the hardest avodas in the Mikdash. This and the Kohen Gadol's, the Ketaris, Lefnai V'Lefnim. They're not easy to be a Kohen. He would take the bird and with these fingers, he would bend the neck of the bird over this finger and hold it so that the back of the neck was exposed on top. And then he would reach over with his thumb. It you have to really practice it, and slit the simonim from the back, not from the front. Shchita is the slicing of the simonim. The simonim is the trachea and the esophagus. In the case of a bird, it could even be one of the two. But from the front, shchita is this. Malika is this, is going from behind, from the back. So the Rambam says like this: if you were to do malika on chulin, if you were to do malika on not chatas ha'of, what would that render the animal? Try again. Nevela, dead, right? So it's nevela. So if you were to do malika, it would be nevela. Now the Kohanim are commanded to eat Chatas Ha'of. So says the Rambam, you might think that since the Kohanim are commanded to eat Chatas Ha'of, which is Malika, and Malika under for all of the rest of Jewry would render the bird into a Nevela, you might think, says the Rambam, that Kohanim are allowed to eat all Nevelos. Let me specify. All Nevelos through Shchita Psula. You would think that any time you did shchita psula to an animal, for a Kohen, it would be okay.
Any shchita psula,
or just any shchita psula, it would be okay. Therefore, the Torah has to emphasize that the Kohanim should still be considered to be part of Jewry, and that's why the Torah emphasizes Nevela and Trefa are still Asurim to the Kohanim. What's the problem? Problem is, what kind of habamin is this? It's absurd, right? You're going to learn out from Malika Bekodshim, you're going to think that therefore Shchita Psula Bechulin should be okay? It's absurd. Not only that, but even if you were to go along with what seems to be absurd, it's not absurd, guys. There's beautiful logic to it. But right now, where we're sitting here, it seems to be absurd. Okay? So, even if you were to explain it, what should the Torah emphasize for Kohanim? Nevela. Why does the Torah have to emphasize Trefa for Kohanim? Trefa's not part of this issue. The Malika, the Chatas Ha'of wasn't dying. You killed it with Malika. I mean, that's it, right? Okay. Those are the questions. Okay, so again, just a very quick summary. The first question is, Lav Shebechlolos. The second question was, the second question is, how do you understand the whole idea of chutzal mechitza with regard to, you know, with regard to the calf, the right, with regard to the ubar, the calf. You have a general question. I mean, what kind of thing is treifa means? No dilemmas. Treifa doesn't mean chutzal mechitza. How is that asur altogether? It's another question. The question about Avram and Achai, Basam and Achai, which maybe we'll get to, maybe we won't. And then you have this question with regard to the Kohen. Is everybody with me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that. All right. All right. How do we answer this? So you want to answer it? To answer it, I want to propose that we have to analyze the pasuk. You have to analyze the pasuk. That tells you the whole issur of treifa altogether. Again, the pasuk is. I'm just going to read the relevant words, and you'll tell me there's a problem with the pasuk. Problem with the pasuk, and just methodology. Just in terms of methodology, if you're dealing with an isser, you must, or a mitzvah, or a chiyuv, you must go back to the pasuk. See what the pasuk says. Okay, so the pasuk is uvasar basadeh treifa lo sochelu v'gomer. I'll say it again. You tell me the problem. There's a problem in the pasuk. Uvasar basadeh treifa lo sochelu v'gomer. What's the problem? What? Uvasar? No, that's okay. Uvasar, but that's okay. Uvasar, where is this basar? Basadeh, treifa, lo sochelu. That's okay. You can have the noun and then the location. I mean, that's okay. There's a fundamental problem. It's a difficulty. Okay, I'll give you a hint.
Excludes.
Where are the grammarians, the Hebrew grammarians here? So it's treifa. But you're getting close to the issue. Uvasar is a noun. Treifa is an adjective. Unlike in English, in Hebrew, nouns and adjectives must agree in terms of not only singular and plural, but also in terms of masculine and feminine. Uvasar is the noun. Treifa is the adjective that modifies that noun. Right? Uvasar is a masculine noun. Treifa is a feminine adjective. That's a problem. That's a problem. There isn't a word in the pasuk that the feminine adjective treifa is modifying. And the Torah has to be correct in terms of the language has to be correct. It has to be correct. You follow? You see? What's the answer? What's the answer? What's the answer?
Referring to a cow.
What?
Referring to a cow.
Exactly. The answer is that there's an unspoken word in the pasuk. And the unspoken word in the pasuk is behema. So it's really the pasuk meant to say, so to speak, uvisar behema basadeh treifa lo sochelu. Now I don't have to say the gomer because that's not the pasuk. Uvisar behema, the meat, the flesh of an animal which is in the field, where the animal is ripped up, is torn up, you're not allowed to eat. In that case, the adjective treifa is feminine, would be modifying the feminine noun behema. You got it? And you must say that that's the pshat in the pasuk, because it's impossible that the Torah, it's impossible that God doesn't know grammar. Okay? So now the question then is, why did the Torah leave out the word behema? Why did the Torah leave out the word behema? Torah says, uvasar basadeh, should have said, uvasar behema basadeh treifa. Or, uvasar basadeh toreif, toruf.
That would limit.
Right?
If you had the word.
Why leave out behema?
It would limit it.
No, not to include off. I'll tell you why. Because I was waiting for somebody to say that. I'll tell you why. Because, what about Chaya? Chaya doesn't bother you also. But I'll tell you why, because just like Basodeh is Diber HaKosuv Bahoveh, right? The Torah picked an example. This is just a dogma. It's an example. So the Torah picked an example of Behemah. I can understand that. The truth is that an oaf wouldn't be an example of Basodeh. You know, like of a you know, wild animal ripping up a bird. It, you know, wouldn't be Basodeh necessarily.
Yeah,
so it picked a regular example. Uvasar Basodeh, Uvasar Behemah Basodeh Trefa. Why did Torah leave out the word Behemah? So here's the first critical point of the Shi'ur. Okay? What I want to say now is like this. I'd like to propose the following idea. The Torah left out the word Behemah to emphasize that the place of Basar in the Isser is of primary importance. What do I mean by that? I mean like this. Basar is not meat, flesh. Basar is not the Heftza upon which the Isser of Trefa falls alone. That's not it. If you think that Basar, that Trefa applies to Basar, so then you're missing the point. The Torah emphasizes that Basar is the foundation of the Isser. What do I mean by that? I mean, what's the definition of the Isser Trefa? Anything that has a shame Basar, anything that has a status of Basar and acquires that status of Basar not through Shechita, that's a Trefa. Say it again, and then I'll walk you through it. Anything that has a status of Basar and acquired the status of Basar not through Shechita, that is Asur. Bachila. Okay, what? Hold. Don't jump. Be careful. Let's take the classic case. You find an animal, we'll go step by step, a cow out in the field or out in the street is dead, a carcass on the street, right? It died of natural causes. So once the cow is dead, it has a status of basar now. It's flesh, it's meat. How did it acquire that status of basar?
Not through Shechita.
Not through Shechita. Through natural death, right? That's Asur Bachila. What's the Asur?
Right.
Nevela. Okay, fine. Everything's good so far. Now what I want to say is like this. The Torah now created a Chiddush. And the Torah said, let's deal with notalamus. An animal which is dying, an animal which is in the throes of death, whatever the halachic definition of dying is, and there's a halachic definition. If an animal is already engaged in the process of dying, the Torah was mechadeshes now, the Torah created a chiddush, and the Torah said, if the animal is already dying, it partakes of the character of death, it's considered to be basar now. And since it acquired the shame basar, not through shechita, but through an engagement in the process of dying, it's asur b'achila. That isur, the Torah calls it trefa. You with me here?
And when it dies, it becomes the vela?
Yes. Yes, correct. Because trefa, in the language of Chazal, trefa is tchilas nevela, it's a process of death. Okay. So if it engages, if it goes through the whole process, it's defined by the final, ultimate step of the process. But it's engaged in the process even beforehand. So if you shecht it while it is dying, it would be trefa, because it became shem basar,
not through
shechita. If you let it go through the natural process to the completion, so it takes on the shame of the completion of the process. And that would be nevela.
And the difference between eating either the flesh or a limb before it was notalamus and after notalamus, but before it died, would it be any difference, Eivir Nechai?
No, Eivir Nechai is a different thing altogether. Leave Eivir Nechai. Okay. Why would they do it? So
I'm just saying, so you gave a definition saying that something that is not going through the process of Shechita.
Right.
Now
Right.
So,
right. It is. But it is. That's okay. It is. there's an override. It's just like, for example, Shchit is one of the Avos Malachos, you know, on Shabbos, and yet you have to do Shchit in the Mikdash for Korban Talmud and Korban Musaf. I mean, okay. Well, we'll get to that. We'll come to that. Okay. Is everyone with me so far?
Yeah.
Now, based upon this, yeah, I'm going to show you now. I'll show you. I mean, you see what you can get from the absence of a word in the Torah? It's like an amazing thing. I mean, the idea that Shane Basar, Uvasar Basad Treifa, the Torah purposefully leaves out Behema to tell you that the Basar is not just the Heftza upon which the Isser devolves, but rather the Shane Basar creates the Isser. It's responsible for the whole Isser. You see? But I'll show you something amazing now. It turns out that based upon what I'm saying, Nevela and Treifa are really the same category. Right? In other words, the category is you're not allowed to eat something that acquires the Shein Basar not through Shechita. Right? Now watch this. There's a general principle in Minat Torah that all Shiurim Minat Torah are not Mitztarfin. What does that mean? It means that there are many Isuri Achila. You're not allowed to eat pig. Okay? And you're not allowed to eat Nevela. In order to get Malkos for the Achila, you have to have eat a shira of a Kezias. Let's say I took a Chatzi Zayas, I took a half a Kezias of pig, and a half a Kezias of Nevela, made a sandwich, and ate it. Would I get Malkos?
No.
I ate a Kezias of Isser, but the answer is, the different Isurim are not Mitztarfin. You cannot, it's like mixing apples and chairs. Okay? So, right, they're just not mitzarif. They don't have anything to do with each other. So that's, you can't combine the shiurim of the Isser. Okay? But if you eat a half a kezias of treifa and a half a kezias of nevela, you get malkos. And now you understand why. You see? Because categorically speaking, it's the same Isser. See? Beautiful. Okay? That explains nota lamus. Now let's take our calf. Let's take our calf now. And now you should see it clear as day. If the calf sticks out a leg, and then we'll do the freeze frame. Calf sticks out a leg, not in the process of birth, stop the clock. What's the deal now? It's not in the process of birth. The leg that is outside of the body of the mother cow is considered to be what?
Not the moment.
No, it's not notalamus. It's going to live ad mea v'esrim to this calf, right? It's not notalamus. Okay, but what's the status of this leg that's sticking outside of the cow?
It's basar.
It's basar. It's basar. Why? Well, it's not. It's no longer associated. It broke its association with the calf inside. It's outside of the mother, not the process of birth. It's not part of the mother. It's not halachically related anymore. It's outside of the...
How's that possible?
What do you mean?
How's it physically possible?
I'm not a veterinarian. I don't know. But if the Gemara says possible, it's possible.
No, because the sac, the birth sac, the amnio sac would be broken in order to have to break in order to...
That's true. That's true. Now, I'm, you're right. And no one says that it's going to withdraw back inside and stay in there for another 3 months. You know, and you're right. You know, you're right about that.
It would spur on the birth.
Maybe. You're right, but it could be minutes later. Okay. In other words, in the meantime, it could withdraw it back inside. Right? So, the difference is going to be, did you shech the cow when the leg was out or not? That's our only really, so to speak, concern. Okay? But at the moment that the leg was outside of the mother, freeze the clock, stop the clock. How would you refer to that, to the leg that's sticking out? Well, it's not mother anymore. It's not the calf that's in the mother. There's only one way to look at that leg that's sticking out. It's flesh. It's basar. And it became basar not through shechita. So of course it's a treifa. See? It fits in totally smoothly. Okay? You guys okay?
Yeah.
Okay. I know, the sun said, I know. Sorry. Not that I had anything to do with it, but...
Is there anything common between that trefa and the trefa that's no telemus?
Yes! Namely, it acquires a shein basar, not through shechita.
So it's nevela.
And while the mother's still alive, you're right. And while the animal's still alive. The difference between trefa and nevela is, it acquires a shein basar while still being alive. That's the difference.
Okay. How much of the calf has to be out to the point where it's no longer considered...
Where it's birth?
Yeah.
So definitely, if the head is out, that's birth. And I'm not sure if rubo is out, even if the head's not out, that might also be birth. I'm not sure about that. It doesn't say.
It doesn't say the word
buster. I know.
So then how do you...
No, that's...
You're promising that my spiel is just buster. Why did you say...
It's one... It's,
you're saying it's the same...
Trefa is trilas nevela.
I understand. But you're saying that...
Same isser. That's what it means. Trefa is trilas nevela. That's what it means.
Right.
It means... And they partake of the same category. What's the category? That which acquires... It doesn't have to say... By nevela, doesn't have to say shein basar. Because a dead animal is basar. There's no chiddush there. The chiddush is by trefa. That's why it has to say by trefa, because man wouldn't come to this on his own. He wouldn't say that, well, an animal which is dying is already considered to be basar. The Torah gives it its shein basar, tells you, has a shein basar insofar as it partakes of the process of death, has a shein basar, and because it has a shein basar, shalal yedei shechita, that's why it's asar. It doesn't have to say it by nevela.
And that would fall through. See? Why would you do a distorted shechita, you need to do it properly.
Well, slowly, okay, one second. Okay, good, all right. Is everyone with me so far? Okay. Yeah, okay. Next step is so we've answered actually a couple of questions. You know, we've answered what chutzal mechitza is with regard to the ubar, that's for sure we've answered, okay? All right. So it turns out with this that nota lomos, I just want to be very clear about this, nota lomos is not the definition of shechita, of trefa. Note the lamus is not the definition of trefa. It's an example of trefa. You follow that? It's not the definition. You could acquire a shein basar not through note the lamus, but rather through like the uber. Okay? All right. One thing turns out is very, very clear over here, and that is that the core, the essence of the isser of trefa is, you know, it lies in the idea of basar, shein basar. Okay? It lies in the idea of shein basar. If I were to ask you, what is the characteristic of basar as a food for achila? And by the way, it applies to ofos as well. Of mido raisa is basar. And I have three psukim that prove it. One is Noach, and two are by the Slav in the Midbar. Of, for sure, is 100% mido raisa basar. Aye, you're not violating basar b'chalav with oaf. What's the answer? The answer is because the isser of basar b'chalav is not basar b'chalav. It's los v'ashel gedi b'chalev imo. It's the subcategory of basar, which is similar to gedi, which is behema, really. Because chaya and oaf is really not in that. They're abanon, you know. Okay. But in terms of the genus, so in terms of the species, in terms of, basar b'chalav, it has to be a certain type of basar, similar to gedi. But oaf, as basar, but the genus of basar, for sure, it's basar. It's a sukkah in the Torah. Yeah. Yes. The vela. Trefa. Yeah, that's a whole sugya. That's not our area, really. In other words... The shechita, what the shechita does accomplish something in the case of trefa. It's a whole separate shiur. I mean, it's it's a good question. I mean, not for us now. Right, that's correct. Okay, all right. What's the characteristic of achilas basar? If I had to ask you, how does the Torah view the eating of basar? The answer is in one word.
Taiva.
Exactly correct. Taiva, desire. Okay? And you have it in, not last week's Sedra, 2 weeks ago, B'chol Avat, again, I think it's four times, I counted it, it's four times in that parasha, you have it a few times. that bechalavas nafshecha tochal basar, you know, like it's v'chisaveh nafshecha, right? It, basar is, in fact, Chazal's language for basar chulin is basar taiva. Okay? Basar has the characteristic of taiva. Okay? Which means to say that over here, if you have an isser, you're not allowed to eat basar other than through the means of shechita. What's the nature of that isser? What does it mean? It means that the isser of trefa slash nevela is an isser of controlling or restricting taiva. That's the Torah's formulation of trefa nevela. Okay? There's one word, there's one categorical word in Hebrew, in the language of the Torah, particularly in the way the Rambam formulated things, for what it is when you control your taiva. What is it?
Kedusha.
That's the Rambam in his definition for this, for the fifth book of the Mishnah Torah, say for Kedusha, so he defines it, Yisurei Bia, Machalas Asuros, the control of the appetite, that is Kedusha. So it turns out now that the Isser of Nevela and Trefa is an Isser of Kedusha. And now you can understand, I'm just taking baby steps now, now you can understand why Shechita is the matir, is the heter for eating basar. Why? Because where does Shechita come from? The Mikdash. Not the other way around. I think people are under the impression that Shechita comes from Chulin and then it was taken over to the Mikdash. It's the other way around. Shechita is taken from the Mikdash and applied to Chulin. I'll prove it to you. The Rambam says at the beginning of Hilcha Shechita, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, Mitzvah Saseh, that if a person wants to eat meat, Mitzvah Saseh Lishchot, Shenemar, what's the pasuk that tells you that if you want to eat meat, you have to do it via Shechita? Vizavachta. It doesn't say Vishachatata, the Torah doesn't. What is Vizavachta? Zevach, it's carbon. So the whole model of chulin, of shechita chulin, comes from kunshim, kedusha. So the idea that it makes beautiful sense, it works out beautifully, that the isser of nevela trefa is an isser of kedusha. You see, is an isser because of the idea of kedusha, and that's why the heter is through shechita. Do you follow? Okay, it's beautiful. Elaborate. No, that's the Mikdash. That's what Mikdash is Kedusha. That's the whole idea of Mikdash.
I understand the same etymology, but...
No, that's the idea. That's the whole idea. The whole idea of Kedusha means is separation. It means a person is Omid Lifnei Hashem. He controls his desires. He focuses his thoughts. I mean, that's, you know, whole philosophical shir. I mean, but the idea of Mikdash is Kedusha. Okay. Now, once you say that, so now let's take our Basar Kutchin that went Chutz L'Machitza. So I want to say now like this. I said before that nota lamus is only an example. It's not the definition of trefa. It's not the definition of trefa. It's an example, right? The example is of anything that acquires a shein basar shelal yedei shechita. Well, now I'm going to take the next step and say that that rule, anything that acquires the shein basar shelal yedei shechita, is also not the definition of trefa. It's an example. It's not the definition of trefa in the vela. What's the definition? It's the definition of achilas basar bekedusha. See? By kedusha. So now, if you have besar kodshin that went outside of the mechitza, so they become pasul. That's it. They lose their status. They become pasul of kedusha. For kedusha. Why? Because kedusha, with regard to kodshin, Kedusha is entirely dependent upon mechitzos. It's entirely dependent upon makom. So once it leaves its relationship, once it leaves its leash, once it leaves its tie to the mikdash, that it lost, that's it. It's lost its kedusha. If you now eat basar, which was designated as kedusha, that lost its kedushas mikdash, so the achilas basar that you're eating is lacking kedusha. Oh, it's lacking kedusha. It's achilas basa. It's lacking kedusha. That's trefa. You see, it's exactly, it's gufa what the rule of trefa is. You see? So it's concentric circles. We start off with the idea of Nota Lamus, because that's the dogma, that's the example in the Torah. Nota Lamus is only an example of something that acquires a Shein Basar Shelo Al Yedei Shechita. That circle is going to include the Ubar sticking out its leg, right? But that itself is only an example for a larger circle. The larger circle is Achilas Basar, you know, that's lacking in Kedusha. Oh, Achilas Basar is lacking in Kedusha? That'll include also Basar Kachim, Sheyatzel Chutzel Lemechitzasa. You see?
So do this two steps again?
It's really three steps. We start off with Nota Lamus.
Right.
Because that's the Uvasar Basar the Trefa Losa Chelu Vagomer. That's the example is Nota Lamus. From there we said, no, it's not only Nota Lamus, it's anything that acquires the status of Basar Shelo Al Yedei Shechita, which would include, the broader step then, is the calf that sticks out its leg. Because that's Basar, not Nota Lamus, but it's Basar Shelo Al Yedei Shechita.
You don't need the whole concept of mechitza there, then. It's really basar shelo yedei
shechita. That's correct.
So it just happens to be
That's Chazal's way. Okay. It's a hook. And then
the
third
definition.
No. Mechitza. And then the third thing. No, because then what if you say you take the meat out of the store? It's also chutz mechitza. What's that?
Right.
It's not. But that's the way Chazal described this case.
Remember.
And then the outer circle is meat of hekdesh. That lost its tie to Hekdesh, it was designated as Hekdesh, but now you're eating its stam for your own taiva. It's puzzle, you know, became puzzle, so it's lacking in Kedusha of its original designation. Within that framework, it's Achilles Basar that lacks Kedusha. That's Achilles Basar of taiva. You see? What about Nosar? Right, but that's you're
eating it.
Right.
You're right.
Is that
right.
Is that trafe?
Of course not. No, of course not. Why? Exactly. Because that has its own nisar. Just like eating the meat, just like eating the meat outside of, if you eat the meat outside of Yerushalayim, that won't be trafe either. Separate nisar. Let's say we'll make it easy. Okay?
So eating it outside of Yerushalayim.
Eating outside of Yerushalayim is not trafe. That's a primary problem. That's correct.
But eating it, which is not after it's not a lumus, is trefa not because of kedusha, but because of
no. It's always a problem of kedusha.
How is that kedusha?
Not a lumus?
Yeah.
Because it has a shein basar, not al yedei shechita.
But shechita is not being makdish.
Shechita is what posits. What's that? It's what posits.
Kedusha.
It is.
Right.
Kedusha.
Okay.
Right. Correct. No, you're right. You can't confuse.
Okay.
Hekdesh, right? There's hekdesh and then there's kedusha.
Okay.
So shechita, which is borrowed from the concept of mikdash, is it renders this meat with a characteristic. It renders the achila of this meat characteristic of kedusha, kedusha of Yisrael. Okay. You know, right?
Good.
So that it's. That's a problem.
Right.
If you take the meat outside and bring it back in, it's a problem, also a violation of Kedusha. You see?
And where's the Kedusha with the calf that sticks the limb out?
Oh, because, same thing. The calf that stuck the limb out, so the limb became Basar, Shelo Al Yedei, it acquired the status of Basar, Shelo Al Yedei Shechita, same thing. Okay, you ever with me? Okay, so it turns out now like this. You could understand... I'll try to wrap it up. It turns out now like this. It's not a lav shebechlalos. Why not? Because it's one category, and the pshat hakosov is an example, and the not pshat hakosov is a reflection of the klal, of the rule that example comes to exemplify. But in the case of Lifnaiva Lositin Mechshal Vegomer, there, it's not that giving bad advice is an example of a rule, and the other and the Sayel Advar Veira is a completion of the rule. No, it's two separate things. They're related to each other. Like it's not that they're completely different. It's not like, you know, don't give bad advice to your friend and also don't wear shatnez. You know, they are related to each other. But it's two separate ideas. Over here, it's one principle. So this is not lav shebechlalos. This is not lav shebechlalos. And the other one clearly is. No stira whatsoever. All right. The last thing is the question of the Kohanim. See? What's the way? How? Why would you think that the Kohanim should be able to eat basar of shechita psula? What's the answer? See, because for the Kohen, what is Malika? You have to go back a step. What is Malika? What is Malika? The answer is Malika is
a form of
shechita. You have to say that. And not you have to say that. It is. I mean, I'll raya's. If you want to see, anybody wants to take a look, I'll give you the raya's afterwards. But Malika is a form of shechita. It's not, in other words, like this. Shooting a cow in the head shows you where my head is at. Shooting a cow. I didn't say which guy, so it's shooting a cow in the head is it's not shechita psula. It's nothing. It's worthless. Right? It's nothing. Malika is shechita psula. Shechita psula. And by the way, methodologically, is a very important thing. You should always ask yourself. Sometimes when you if you don't do something halachically, you know, that fits the parameters, sometimes it's as if you didn't do it at all. It's worthless completely. And sometimes it's not worthless. It has a shame, but it's puzzle. And it's defective. Defective thing. The bottom line is, you're not going to be able to eat it in either case. But logically speaking, those are two different, you know, concepts. Okay, now it's important over here, because for since a Kohen partakes of the concept of Shechita Psula, that's part of his Avoda, right? The Malika, Shechita Psula is part of his Avoda. So therefore you might think that for a Kohen, if you apply Shechita Psula if you create Basar through Shechita Psula, that's a connection to Kedusha for him. You see? And therefore he'd be allowed to eat it. That's a great Havamina. Shechita Psula, because it's categorical. That's correct. It's categorical. Because outside of the Mikdash, there's no such thing as Malika. It's just Shechita Psula. You see? So, you follow?
Yeah.
So there. Okay, you can tone it down. So therefore, you see, you would say he's partaking of Kedusha. He's positing, he's giving an idea of Kedusha to the Achilles Basa over here. It's a great Havamina. I'll show you how good the Havamina is. The maskana, the way you know how the Rambam presents the maskana? The Rambam presents the maskana by saying like this: you have this havamina, hayaola b'dateinu, and the maskana is, but nishar bichlal Yisrael, who the Kohen is he's still included in klal Yisrael. What does that mean? It means the Rambam is saying an amazing thing. The Rambam is saying as follows: were it just for this consideration, a Kohen would be allowed to eat from shechita psula. Even the maskana. But since Klal Yisrael is muvdal mikol ha'amim, since Bnei Yisrael, one of the characteristics that separate us from the other nations of the world, is machalos asuros, the other principal one being Yisurei Bia, machalos asuros Yisurei Bia, that's Kedusha, that's Sefer Kedusha. And the Rambam says, what does that mean, Sefer Kedusha? Shebahem, you know, that through these areas, Machalos Asuros and Yisurei Bia, we were separated, Mikola Umos. So if that's the case, the Kohen still has to observe the separation from the Amim that the rest of Klal Yisrael has to observe. In other words, the Kohen has to have Shechita Kshera, and he can't rely on Shechita Psula, not because of his own status, but because since he's part of the Ummah, which is separated, and the Ummah is separated in this way, he has to maintain that separation. But were it just in terms of, if it was just the Isser of Trefa Nevela itself, if that was it, the Kohen would be allowed to eat Shechita Psula. It's amazing.
Why was that again?
What? Yeah. No, it's not Shechita Psula. That's the same question you were asking before. You're asking the same. It's not Shechita Psula. But the animals are Trefa. The animal's a treif. It's a dying animal. Your shechita cannot undo the fact that the animal's dying. I don't
see why you're bringing
in note the lamas. There was no havamina a Kohen could eat a treifa. The havamina was only that a Kohen would be allowed to eat shechita psula, not treifa. We asked the question: why, if that's true, why did the Rambam have to say that The Torah emphasized trefa also, which I didn't explain. I'm about to explain. You follow? There's no havamina. The Rambam himself said, when the Rambam says, Haya ola b'datenu, that I would have thought, he says, I would have thought that a Kohen could eat from Shechita Psula. He doesn't say anything about trefa.
Nevela.
Right? Nevela from, not any Nevela. Nevela from Shechita Psula. Okay? All right. So, if I ever follow? That's why, yeah.
That would mean to say, why would you have a different threshold for like his personal Kedusha? That's just because he's attached to Kedusha?
Yeah,
because
he's attached to Kedusha of the Mikdash. That puts in an idea of Kedusha into his Achilas Basar that for the other guy it doesn't apply. But it doesn't matter, he's still part of Klal Yisrael. Okay? Now, why does the Torah have to, when it repeats for the Kohen, why does it have to repeat Trefa also? What's the answer?
So the answer is,
you're right, it wouldn't, Inachanami, it wouldn't have to repeat it L'maisa. Nevela is the only Havamina. The Rambam himself says Nevela is the only Havamina. But since Trefa and Nevela must go hand in hand, because Trefa is really the thing that reveals the whole nature of the Isser, because of the Shein Basar, because of the whole idea of Taiva, so it's Nigrar. It goes with it. Because
more,
that reveals the nature of the Isser.
The process. That's what it has to
correct. Well, okay, I understand that. But, in other words, technically speaking, if it was just L'maisa, all the Torah would have to repeat Nevela. For the Kohen is Nevela. But the Torah is being conceptual over here. And since the concept of this of the whole Isser is primarily revealed through Trefa, through the idea of the Shein Basar, so therefore it's repeated as a unit, Trefa and Nevela. You see? It's an amazing thing. It means like this. It means that this aspect of Kashrus, of Basar, means, people pick on Kashrus, you know, like, oh, what's the technical picayune rules, you know, like, it's a beautiful, beautiful idea. It means that the Kashrus with regard to meat is concerned is, a person has to recognize Achilas Basar is an Achilas Shel Taiva, and that's okay, as long as you relate Kedusha to it. And that's the idea. So if something acquires a Shein Basar without the relationship of Kedusha via Shechita, yeah. So then you're lost. I didn't do the B'nai Noach business, you know, you'll, if you want, we can talk about it afterwards, you know, individually, whatever, you'll read it in the Kuntras, but I'll answer the question that we started with. So why, can we justify Klal Yisrael referring to all things that are not kosher as being treif? So the answer is we can justify it. Because treifa, tarfus, is really the isser that reveals the philosophy of kashrus. The idea that man is allowed to eat mishum taiva as long as he relates it to kedusha in some way. You see, so and that's the philosophy behind the isser of Achazir, and that's the philosophy behind all these things. I mean, it's you see, so philosophically speaking, it could be. I mean, I'm justifying the practice of Klal Yisrael, even though technically speaking, it's a mistake. I mean, you know, like, but. Why would we say that Chazatreif? Chazatreif is an oxymoron. I mean, it's... But what does it mean? But it means... But Tarfus reveals the whole philosophy of Kashrus. The idea that if you want to... You have to eat to live. Okay, fine. But more than that, man is allowed to partake of the idea of Taiva in his Achila. But only insofar as he also relates it to some idea of Kedusha. And the Shechita is the thing that does it apart from the Mikdash. And the whole idea... I mean, the truth is you could explore David's idea. I mean... Namely, that it's not just any kedusha, but it's the idea of mikdash. The kedusha of mikdash is brought in because the kedusha of mikdash. What is the kedusha of mikdash? The kedusha of mikdash really is Shem Hashem. That's the kedusha of mikdash is the Shem Hashem. Babayis hagadol vehakadosh. Finish the phrase. Shenikra shimcha olav. So it means, I mean, that's the kedusha of mikdash is really kedusha Shem Hashem. It's another shir. So, but it means that when man is eating and he's enjoying his eating, as we're hopefully about to do, hope the meat is still warm, you know. Like, I apologize to everybody. I mean, but the man has to remember, and part of that achila has to partake of the idea of kedusha. Kedusha means the idea of relating to the idea of Shem Hashem, which Shem Hashem, of course, means knowledge of God. So in the achila that you have, it always has to be. And that's the philosophy of kashrus altogether. That's why people say, could be, that's why people say treif. All right. So I thank you again for the for the opportunity to learn together. I'll be around. We'll talk a little bit and schmooze, but let's partake of some besar taiva here.